Your Bible, please turn with me to the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and let's read the first 13 verses together. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. Rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they came to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Father, thank you for your word. We know this is inspired by your Spirit. Lord, it's a word full of life and truth. And Father, I pray that as I deliver this word this morning, that you would anoint me by your Spirit. But Father, even more than that, give us receptive, open hearts to receive and to respond. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a parable that Jesus told about the time between the first and the second coming. So we know that Jesus came the first time 2,000 years ago. He lived the life we could never live. He died on the cross in our place and for our sins. We know that on the third day, the power of God raised him to life again. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven with the promise that he will return to the earth again. Jesus is coming back to the earth to receive unto himself, the Bible says, a bridegroom, at least a bride, bought with the blood of Jesus from every nation, tribe, language, and culture. And so that's the theme for this morning, to keep it in your minds that Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus ascended to heaven, but the missing part of the puzzle is Jesus is coming again. And he's coming to receive a bride unto himself. And folk, that's why we treat the church with such care and such respect. This church does not belong to me or to the elders or to the deacons. This church, and when I speak about the church, I'm talking about these precious human beings around you. You belong to Jesus. You are his bride. You belong to him, and so therefore we love you and we treat you with respect and care. Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle." This is my job, to prepare you for that day when Jesus Christ will come for you or he will call for you. That when you stand before him, when you look into his eyes, you'll be prepared as a bride prepared for the bridegroom, free from spot or blemish, ready to meet the one who died for you. John the Baptist in John chapter 3 had a similar role. His job was to prepare people for the first coming of Jesus. And so Jesus arrives and people report to John and say, "John, there's a problem here." He says, "What's the problem?" They say, "Well, people are leaving you now and they're going to the other side of the Jordan River and they're following this new rabbi called Jesus. There's a problem, John. They're leaving you. You're becoming less. He's becoming more. What do you say about this situation? And this is how John replies. He says, the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and he's now complete. I've done my job, John says. It was never about me. It was all about preparing you for Jesus. And now he's here. Leave me. Forget about me. Go and follow him. This is the role that we have in this interim period, to prepare the bride of Christ, men and women, boys and girls like you, to prepare you for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in the parable, the 10 virgins we read about represent the church. The church. People who claim to follow Christ, professing Christians. The 10 virgins represent the church of Jesus Christ. And verse 1 tells us that all 10 are going out to meet him. They're going out to meet the bridegroom, which portrays going out to meet Jesus Christ on his return. But whether or not they are true, authentic, genuine followers of Jesus or counterfeit followers of Jesus is about to be revealed. Because the Bible says that amongst the 10, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now, I don't think that literally means 50% of the church is wise and 50% foolish, but I think it does mean that amongst professing Christians, amongst the visible church, there are those who are visible or at least authentic, genuine followers of Christ, and there are those in the body who are not as wise as they may first appear to be. All 10 virgins had a job. When the bridegroom arrived, they were to light their lamps, and they were to go out and meet the bridegroom. And of course, in those days, for your lamp to be lit, you needed what? Oil. Without oil, the lamp was never going to burn. It was going to be useless. The lamp needed oil in order to achieve its purpose of providing light. Now, folk, the 5 foolish were foolish for this reason. They had a lamp. They looked good. They had a form of godliness. They came to church, as it were. They could sing the same songs you sang this morning. They knew how to pray. But within their vessel, within their lamp, there was no substance. They were dry. They were empty. The life of God, the oil of God, was not there. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, he says, in the last days, there will be those in the church, professing Christians, who have a form of godliness. They've got a lamp, but deny the power of God. My friends, this is serious. They've got a form of godliness. They've got lamps, but the oil of God, the fire of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God is absent from that lamp. And in verse 5, Jesus tells us some good news. He said that there's going to be a delay. Did you notice that? Between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. But while the bridegroom was delayed, now, for 2,000 years, this has been the point of debate around the world. Where is Jesus? I thought he said he was coming back. And in fact, he used the word soon. So where is he? Is he still coming back? And if he is, when is he coming back? Well, 2 Peter 3 verse 8 says this. It's on the big screen. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So in God's economy, only 2 days have passed from the first coming of Jesus until now. Just 2 days. Just 2 days. And Peter says he's prepared to wait longer. Another half a day. In the light of eternity, half a day for Jesus is nothing if it means you're going to get saved. You're going to get saved. You're going to get saved. He's given you more time. He's delaying his arrival to give as many people as possible a chance to come to repentance and to follow Jesus. What a gracious God. He's holding himself back, as it were, to give you a chance to get right with God. Last week at the Mighty Men Conference, those of us who were there, we witnessed with our own eyes. On that first Friday night, we witnessed with our own eyes 3,000 men of every description, of every demographic, of every age, meeting Jesus Christ for the first time. 3,000. And they walked down from wherever they walked down from, rows and rows and rows of men, fathers and sons, grandpas, boys and girls, going to meet Jesus for the first time. And what went through my mind? Thank you, Jesus, you were delayed. Because 3,000 have met you that otherwise would not have had the opportunity. My friends, I've heard people say, I'll wait for another day. I'll put off the decision for a more convenient time. That's really, really dangerous. That's like playing Russian roulette with your eternal destiny. What you need is oil in your lamp today. When the bridegroom comes, and he will, you need to be ready. I'm sure you noticed in the parable that the bridegroom arrived when? Unexpectedly. In fact, the Bible says he arrived in the middle of the night. And so too the second coming of Jesus will happen unexpectedly. He's not going to announce he's coming to you. He's not going to pre-warn you. He's going to come unexpectedly. In fact, at a time when you least expect him. Look at this verse. Thessalonians. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. I've never met a thief who advertises he's coming to rob you. I'll see you tomorrow in 3rd Avenue at 2 a.m. Just make sure the dogs are away and the alarm's off. I'll be there at 2 a.m. I've never met a thief who warns you he's coming. And Jesus says, like a thief, arrives unexpectedly in the dead of night, takes you by surprise. So the Son of Man will return at a time you least expect him. And you go on to read that there'll be two people doing the same thing. Two people in the field, two farmers, two farm workers. One will be taken, the other left. Two ladies doing some needlework, some sewing. One will be taken, the other left. What was the difference? One was ready. One was not. Throughout Scripture, we read that oil is symbolic of what? The Holy Spirit. And you can research that throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. Oil is symbolic in the Bible of the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of God. David in Psalm 23 says, "You anoint my head with oil." In other words, I'm covered. I'm overflowing. I'm empowered by the Spirit of God. You anoint my head with oil. Paul in Romans 8 verse 11 says, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is now living in your mortal body. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the life of God, the oil of God is where? In you, if you love and follow Jesus. And that oil, that Spirit has been given to you as a down payment, as a guarantee, as it were, that your eternal destiny is secure. The Holy Spirit, the oil of God, is given to those who love and follow Jesus. And so, folk, the question this morning is, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? I have to ask you that question. I have to. Are you ready to meet him? Do you have oil in your lamp? Or are you like the foolish virgins carrying your lamp around? I go to church. I'm a church member. I've been baptized. I pray before meals. I'm a good person. But your lamp, in essence, is empty. And when the king arrives, it's too late. You're bankrupt. Verse 8 and verse 9, the story unfolds. It says, the foolish virgins, when they hear the bridegroom's arrived, they begin to panic. They recognize that they're not prepared. And so they say, give us some of your oil, please. Give us some of your oil. We need something of what you've got. And the virgins, your wives, say, we can't do that. We can't give you any of our oil. You have to buy your own. And some people might say, well, that's selfish. Why not share what you've got with somebody else? But the point Jesus is making is this. It's impossible to borrow faith. It's impossible to borrow somebody else's Holy Spirit. That kind of spiritual transaction is not possible. You need the oil for yourself. You need the life of God for yourself. It's not transferable one to another. A parent can't have faith for a child. A child can't have faith for a parent. I can't have faith for you. You can't have faith for me. You need your own oil, your own faith. I'll tell you what, at the Mighty Men, we were so challenged by one of the speakers who spoke about Daniel and King Darius. You know the story that David was thrown into the lion's den, and King Darius was desperate for this man to live because he knew he was innocent. And King Darius keeps referring to the God of Daniel. Daniel, your God. Your God save you. Your God help you. Your God deliver you. The God of Daniel. But as the speaker reminded us, King Darius never got to a stage throughout that story where he said, Daniel's God has become my God. Yes, it's your God. It's the pastor's God. It's his God. It's my dad's God. But friends, it's got to become your God. It's got to become yours. You contrast that with young Isaiah. A young man. Isaiah says, you know what? In the year that the king died, a specific year, a specific time, in the year the king died, I saw the Lord. High and lifted up. And he says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Your God, Daniel's God, has become my God, my eyes. This oil cannot be borrowed. It cannot be transferred. You need to have your own. I love Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. He doubts the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive, Thomas. He's risen from the dead. No, it can't be true. I saw him die. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears supernaturally, and he's standing in front of Thomas. Thomas touches his hands, the scars, his side, his feet. And the Bible says Thomas falls to his knees, and he speaks these words, my Lord and my God. Friends, I've got to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Have you got the oil? Is the life of God in you that when Jesus Christ appears, and he will, you will fall at his knees and you will say, Jesus, my Lord, my God, I'm ready to meet you. I'm ready to come home. Verse 10, and while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. My friends, the door of salvation will not always be open. Like the door of the ark in the days of Noah was closed, so too the door of salvation will not always be open. You have a window of opportunity, and may I say, a brief window of opportunity to get your life right, to make wise decisions, to make sure you've got the oil of God before He returns. It will not be open forever. And that's why Paul says, he begs people, he says, my friends, today, if you hear His voice, as you may be doing as I speak, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Matthew 24:37 says this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. My friend, up until the day that rain arrived, people were living like it would never come. A flood, the rain, the judgment of God, it will never happen. Just keep living. But as the rain came, so too you can bet your bottom dollar, Jesus Christ will return. He is coming. He's coming back. The only question is, when He comes, are you ready? Are you in the ark? Have you walked through that door? Are you locked in? Or are you still on the outside, praying Russian roulette, hoping for the best, without any oil? Verse 11 and verse 12. I've researched the scriptures and I cannot find, from Genesis to Revelation, any more terrifying words than these. For a person who had a lamp, they had a form of godliness, they were part of the visible church, they were in the system, maybe for years, and they bring their lamp before Jesus. And Jesus looks straight through what others can see. He looks into the heart of that lamp, into the heart of that person. And He says, my friend, I never knew you. You never knew me. And I never knew you. You had a form of godliness. You had a lamp. But you never had any oil. The life of God was never in you. And now the door is shut. It is too late to change that decision. Those are words, my friend, let me tell you right now, you never want to hear. You never want to look into the eyes of Jesus on that day. I never knew you. You don't want to hear those words. And that's why He ends off with these words in verse 13. He says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. What does it mean to watch? It doesn't mean to sit on a mountain every day looking up into the sky, gazing into the heavens. It means to be spiritually alive, to be alert, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to love, to trust, to worship and to obey Jesus so that when He comes, you will not be ashamed. It means that should Jesus come while you are alive, should He come today, or should He call you home as He called Tony Mintz last week, whether He comes or whether He calls, you are ready. Let's close it with this verse. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. Just imagine this morning. Try and use your imagination to imagine that day. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Who says amen to that verse? Powerful. What a day that's going to be. Jesus came 2,000 years ago to purchase a bride. He's coming again to fetch her. On that critical day, will you be ready? Will you have oil in your lamp? That is the most critical, the most important question you will ever have to answer. Let's pray together. Let's just take a moment to reflect, to think. Friends, this is maybe the most important message you've ever heard in your life. This is the most critical decision you'll ever have to make in your life because it determines, it affects your eternal destiny. So I want to give you a moment to think. I believe as I stand here this morning, there are two groups of people the Lord's bringing into my mind. Two specific groups of people that I need to pray for this morning. The first group is you've got no oil. You are spiritually empty. You are spiritually dry, bankrupt. You've never been born again of the Spirit of God. The life of God has never flowed into you. But that can change today. I want you to leave this place this morning knowing that you have settled your eternal destiny, that you have oil in your lamp, that you are born again of the Spirit of God, never to be the same again. That's the first group I want to pray for this morning. And the second group, your situation goes something like this. Your tank's running low. Your petrol gauge, as it were, is almost down to the reserve. You're part of the system. You are born again Christian. You've got a lamp. But for whatever reason, your oil supplies have run low. Maybe it's been a disappointment. Maybe it's been a discouragement. Maybe you've been through a hard time. It's drained the life out of you. Maybe for you, it's been failure and sin that has drained that oil from your system. But I want to trust God this morning to revive you, to refresh you, to refill your tank with the fire of God, with the oil of God, with the Spirit of God, to set you on fire for the things of God. That when He comes or when He calls, you will not be embarrassed, but you will be ready to meet Him. I want us all, please, just to stand to our feet. And I want you to make a brave decision this morning, my friend. I want you, if you fall into either one of those two categories, I want you to make your way from your seat to the front of this church. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to trust God to do a mighty, powerful work in your life. It really affects your eternal destiny. It's the most critical, the most important decision you'll ever make. Whether He comes or whether He calls, you need to be ready. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You've got no oil. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to meet Jesus for the first time. Your place is up front. Your tank's running low. You are a Christian. You do love Jesus. But your oil supplies are low. Something has sucked you dry. We're going to trust God to fill you again with the life and the oil of God. Just where you are, forget about me for a moment and just focus on Jesus. I'm going to pray for you in a second. There's a song being played that says, this could be your last day. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord.
And did me not to grow. You formed a wild man underground where no one else could see. You turned
words, a new opportunity, a new day, a new chance. And my friend, if you're here this morning, you are so welcome. It's so good to see you. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you may be wandered in here and just got you by accident, so you thought. But Jesus had an appointment with you this morning. And I want you to just to pray after me, please, if this is you. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you that you died for me. You died in my place and for my sin. You carried my shame, my guilt, my failure. And Lord, today I repent. I recognize I'm a sinner before you. I recognize you are holy God and I'm bankrupt before you. And Lord, this morning I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, my God, my Savior, my King. I turn from sin. I turn to Jesus. And Lord, I pray today you would fill me, please, with the oil of God. You would fill me with the Spirit of God. You would fill me with the fire of God. Lord, you would change me from the inside out, that I would never be the same again. Lord, today I decide, I choose, I nail my colors to the mast. I will follow Jesus. Jesus. I want to pray for those of you who are here this morning because you recognize that you are a Christian. You've got a lamp, but somehow life has got the better of you. For whatever reason, that oil that once burned bright, that was on fire, has been drained from you. It may be disappointment, it may be discouragement, it may be sin. It may be just something that's just drained you and emptied you of the life of God. And so I pray today for you, my friend. Right now, as you stand there, for a fresh impartation, for a fresh outpouring of the fire of God, the oil of God upon your life. As you open your heart to Him this morning, as you open the top of that lamp, so to speak, may the fire of God fall. May the oil of God penetrate you this morning. May you feel Him from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet, filling you, flooding you, overflowing you, reviving you, refreshing you, renewing you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the oil of God. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Lord, our determination is that whether you come for us or whether you call for us, we do not want to be ashamed. We want to look you in the eye, Lord Jesus. Shake your hand and hear those words, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. You ran your race well. You did your best. You lived to the glory of God. Now come home and have a rest. Thank you, Father. We receive that oil this morning. We receive it. We receive it. Father, may you take us from this place, never to be the same again. Our eyes fixed on Jesus. Our hearts committed to following Jesus. The oil of God full within us. And Lord, may this fire spread, please, into homes, communities, schools, businesses, hospitals. May this oil, may this fire spread across Ganubi to the ends of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. We are ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, folks.